No one is anyone's friend. This world is full of self-interest. This is Sanchis Bajan, Koi Nakise Da Bailey, page 90. When the parents gave birth to the son, he became the owner of the house. As he grew older, his love increased, and he loved his brothers and friends. When his mustache grew and his face started shining, he flew in the sky. He attached his heart in the world and forgot the true Lord. The Chambeli flower does not remain fresh forever. When his respect increased in the home, he forgot from his heart the Almighty Lord. Love the Master so that you may get liberated. Be careful that your soul does not go alone. Deceiving others, you bring things to your home and feed your sons and daughters with them. He will ask you for the account, and what will you reply? Your value will not be even one penny. Your youth has gone, old age has come, and you are called by the name Old Man. Here, O Guru Kripal, come and take care of Ajayb. No one is anyone's friend. The world is full of self-interest.
Koi na kise da baili duniya matlab di. Koi na kise da baili duniya matlab di. Koi na kise da baili. Jado ma pio beta janiya, tado garda malik baniya. Jado ma pio beta janiya, tado garda malik baniya. Hoya jive hoshiyar tera vadiya piyar change. Lagde bai beli duniya matlab di. Koi na kise da beli duniya matlab di. Koi na kise da beli. Mucha futia da makaranga mari, mari vichi asamana udari. Mucha futia da makaranga mari vichi asamana udari. Chitta dunia chalaya sache rabanu bulaya sada. Kidi na rehe chambeli duniya matlab di. Koi na kise da beli duniya matlab di. Koi na kise da beli. Jadagar vicha manavadaya, kula malika dilo bulaya. Jadagar vicha manavadaya, kula malika dilo bulaya. Kari guru nala pyara tera hojave udara kite. Jindrina jaye akeli duniya matlab di. Koi na kise da beli duniya matlab di. Koi na kise da beli. Kartagiya garnuliave, dia putra nuana kuave. Kartagiya garnuliave, dia putra nuana kuave. Teto puchana hisaba kive devenga jawaba tera kadra na pena deli duniya matlab di. Koi na kise da beli duniya matlab di. Koi na kise da beli. Jani gaye bude paaya Buddha Baba namadaraya Jani gaye bude paaya Buddha Baba namadaraya Suno guru kirpala ajay banu sambala chakalo Chakalo holy keli dunia matalabadi Koi na kise da beli dunia matalabadi Koi na kise da beli.
Your youth has gone, old age has come, and you are called by the name old man. Hear, O Guru Kripal, come and take care of Ajaib. No one is anyone's friend. This world is full of self-interest. All right, we've got a couple of announcements here. The following is an announcement about Christmas Eve and Christmas Day schedules. Sunday, December 24th, that's Christmas Eve, everything will function as it normally does, with one exception. There will be no lunch served at the big house after the Sunday satsang on December 24th. So please plan accordingly. And there will be a special Christmas night satsang Monday, December 25th at 7 p.m. here in the hall. And all are welcome to attend. As always, the satsang hall is open all day. And the following week, there will be a one-day meditation retreat celebrating the new year. That'll be all day Monday, January 1st. Initiates are welcome to attend any meditation sittings, and the schedules of satsang and meditation are available at the book table. And the local initiates who want to participate and who plan to take meals at the ashram, please let us know so we'll know how many people to cook for. And guests wishing to attend and needing overnight accommodations, please let the ashram know as soon as possible. And also a mundane announcement. The season of snow is upon us. There is a turnaround just out in front of the big house. Please don't park there. We earnestly ask you, please don't park there, even if it's just for a short time. The town trucks rely on that. This is the end of the road. They rely on that to be able to back up and turn around. And it's very difficult for them if they find a car there. They have asked us for a long time. We've always very lovingly cooperated with this. They've asked us to please keep that open. Okay, we're continuing in the adventure story, In Search of the Gracious One. Excuse me. So Sanji is continuing in his reminiscences about his times with Sawan Singh. In the time of Master Sawan Singh, many foreigners and people from different parts of India came and took advantage of his presence and his work. But Master Sawan Singh also had to face a lot of opposition from many different religions and from many people who lived near his ashram. The Akalis, an orthodox sect of the Sikhs, even built a gurdwara right across the road from his dera, and they used to go on criticizing him there from morning to evening. They even wrote a book against him and opposed him in that way. Master Sawan was told by people that he should respond to their criticism, but he replied that there was no need to do that, as saints are unique examples and the critics would learn something. He was so gracious that he didn't mind the criticism. Master Sawan Singh never answered the criticism in the same tone, as the masters always forgive and never take revenge. Instead, Master Sawan Singh, who was an abode of forgiveness, used to say, "Brothers, the langar over here in this dera is of the master. You may be hungry, needing food, as you are doing this work from morning to night. Since you don't have any means to eat food over at your place, you're welcome to have food here. He was always graciously inviting them, his opponents, his critics, to come and have food in his langar. Just see how much humility he had. Such humility can only be had by the great masters. Many times those akalis would invite other akalis to come and discuss how to work more effectively against Master Sawan Singh. But when the new people would come there and see the dera right behind the gurdwara, they would attend the master's satsang in the evening. After hearing the satsang, they would become so impressed with him that instead of criticizing him, they would take initiation and leave the company of the critics. As the akalis saw that many people were becoming impressed by Master Sawan Singh and were even becoming initiates, they decided to move away, and they turned that gurdwara into a school, which still exists. We know that we satsangis do not have much capacity for patience, but the masters, the saints, have a lot of patience in them. That is why, whenever Master Sawan Singh Ji used to invite his opponents to come and have food in the langar, the satsangis around him would get upset, and they would say, "But they are criticizing us." Master Sawan Singh Ji used to say, "No, they're not doing anything wrong to us. In fact, they are doing our work. You see that you do not have to do any publicity, and you do not have to tell people about the path. They are the ones who are telling people about the path. So in fact, they are doing your work, and we should feed them. We should help them." Reading history, we become ashamed when we understand that the saints came into this world to liberate us for our own benefit. But instead of taking advantage of their coming into this world, we people gave them a very hard time. We know how Christ was crucified, Guru Arjan Dev was tortured, Swamiji Maharaj was also bothered very much, and many other saints who came into this world for the sake of the souls were given a very hard time. Reading all this history, we feel very embarrassed. The Mahatmas come into the world for our sake, and what do we do in return? When Master Sawan Singh was opposed very much like this by different religious people, he used to say, "It is only because of the British rule that I am able to do satsang freely. If it were not for the democratic rule, we would have also been judged like the past masters." He said that if it were like the past, if one particular religion was governing the country, he would have been troubled and opposed, as had happened to the saints in the past. Only because of democracy and the British people, he was able to hold satsang freely, and he was able to convey his thoughts to the people. However, saints know who are the people who criticize others. They know that only those who have weaknesses within themselves criticize others, and that they criticize and comment on other people's ability only to hide their own weakness. It is my own personal experience that perfect masters never criticize anyone. They themselves never criticize anyone, nor do they teach their disciples to criticize others. They neither criticize anyone in the Sangat, nor in their private time. They neither criticize anyone in the satsang, nor in their private time, and they never allow their dear ones to criticize others. Master Sawan Singh used to say that from every sense organ there's some pleasure or some taste, but criticism does not have any taste. It is neither sweet nor sour, but it is such a thing that once one gets attached to it, it does not leave that past. Leave that person alone. However, saints have big hearts, and that is why They even have love for their critics. They always forgive them. Master Sawan used to give the example of the Muslim saint Mansur. He said that when Mansur was being killed, he told God Almighty, "O Lord, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. They do not recognize me, but I have so much sympathy, so much pain for them in my heart." Master Sawan Singh used to say, "When people come to me and ask, 'Master, should I get married?' I tell them, 'Well, if you can carry the burden, then you may get married. If you can maintain the married life, then you may get married.' And when people ask me, 'Master, should I not get married? Is it all right if I live without getting married?' I advise them, 'Well, if you can maintain chastity without getting married, if you can abstain from committing adultery, then you may remain unmarried.'" As you know, I got many opportunities to sit at the feet of beloved Master Sawan Singh, and I heard many of his talks. And still, these words of that great master are sounding in my ears. He used to say this very often in the satsang, that if you cannot maintain chastity, if you cannot remain celibate while being single, then you should get married. He used to say that in the path of the masters, it's not a bad thing to get married. However, from outside, people pretend that they are good meditators, that they are celibate, and so they do not get married. But inside, they're always thinking about women and thinking about lust. He would say that if you don't have thoughts of lust, even in your dreams, then you can say that you have maintained chastity. And then it's all right if you don't get married. But if lust is bothering you, even in your dreams, even in your thoughts, then there's no harm in getting married, and one should, without any hesitation, get married. That would help a lot in one's spiritual upliftment. Master Sawan Singh also used to say that once we get married, it's very important for us to maintain that marriage. No master has ever inspired people to divorce. They have never inspired people to commit adultery. He used to say that the woman who has many husbands, how is she going to please them all? How is she going to care for them all? In the same way, the man who has many wives, many companions, how is he going to please them all? Just as it is very difficult to develop love for one master, even if we go on working for it throughout our lifetime, in the same way, it's very difficult to develop the love for one husband or one wife in our lifetime. Master Sawan Singh was married, and he lived a householder's life. Many saints lived a householder's life, and many saints were renunciates. Neither the householder saints said that renunciation is bad, nor have the renunciate saints said that the householders are bad. They all said that it makes no difference whether you live a householder's life or the life of a renunciate, but the thing that counts is the strength with which you maintain your way of life. If the saints were renunciates, they were completely renunciate. And if they were householders, they always maintained the religion of the household. And we'll leave off there. And this is Master Kripal's 1962 Christmas message. Dear ones in the Lord, on this Christmas day, I send you my hearty wishes for your progress on your way back to the sweet home of our Father. Entire self-surrender to God is the secret of a true lover of God. Therefore, he should be a man of purity, humility, and meekness. The main thing one should do is devotion to the name of God, and see the light and hear the voice of God, the sound principle reverberating in all. For this, he should devote regular time to meditation and conquer the passions through communion with the Master. He should sing of God, the Beloved, and enter into the superconscious through intoxication of His sweet remembrance. In such intoxication of love, one wishes to kiss the very ground, to love all creation and all mankind, and breathe peace unto all the world over. My work is to reveal to you the unity already existing throughout all, and I would ask you to turn away from sectarian strifes to the path of love. This will be achieved by one who will be intoxicated with love. God is love, and our souls are of the same essence as that of God. So love is innate in our souls, and the way back to God is only through love. Love, and all things shall be added unto you. You may read libraries of books. Of what avail are they? You may have many meritorious acts. Of what avail are they? Far are you from the Beloved if there be not the longing in your heart. Consume hundreds of books in the fire. Let your heart blossom forth with the sweet remembrance of the Lord. Be absorbed in the white radiance of the Beloved. Be absorbed, and you will know that the Master is but one with God. He appears in every picture, in every race and religion, every prophet and saint, every scripture and song, is the Shining One revealed. Let your inner self be overflowing with the love of the Master, so much so that all thoughts of yourself be lost in Him. St. Paul said, "It is I, not now I, but Christ lives in me." Be not imprisoned in the jail of I and me. He who hath transcended self, he verily hath attained to the highest. He hath become perfect. Such a one knows no difference between Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Christian, Jew, the Buddhist, or the Zoroastrian. For God is the Lord of all, and in all shines the one picture divine. We are worshippers of the same Lord. The One is within thee, outside thee, in me, in Him, and in every place. That One alone doeth speak in all. I wish you to awake, awake. Awake this very day of Christ. Awake in the kingdom of God which is shining within you. Be not in love with passions. Think no evil of anyone. Strive not for greatness, wealth, and applause. Strive for truth, purity, and humility. Awake in the brotherhood of God. Inculcate love for one and all. See them all in the One, the Shining One. Kirpal Singh. And this is Sanchi's message for Christmas of 1979. My Satguru Kripal's most beloved children, after waiting for another whole year, Christmas has come again, and you are going to celebrate and enjoy it. In your country, Christmas is a festival of merrymaking and becoming happy. It's a celebration of the event of God coming into the world. But for the satsangi, this can happen daily, because we are the very fortunate ones to have God, who came in the form of Kripal, within us. And if we could rise above body consciousness, and if, giving up the company of mind, we could go within and see Him there, we could have Christmas daily. Master Kripal often used to say that we should become Christ-like. What did he mean by that? He meant that we should develop the qualities which Christ had. Because unless we become as pure as God is, we cannot go and see him. God is all pure, all holy, and he wants those who come to him to also be pure and holy. In this message of Christmas, I send you all my love and best wishes. And I hope that to celebrate Christmas daily, you will do more bhajan and simran, so that you may please the Master and see him within you. We should be very grateful to Master Kripal, who showed us the kingdom of God and who put us on the way back to God. Only by obeying his commandments and doing more bhajan and simran can we show our gratitude to him. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all of you. I hope that in this new year you will start a new life and change for the better. I send all my love and best wishes to all the Sangat. With all his love, yours affectionately, Ajab Singh. And we're going to continue now reading in Master Kripal's satsang called Nam and Ramayana. Our master is commenting on the Ramayana of Tulsidas. And Master says, what does the Guru do? He puts the true collyrium of Nam in the eye by withdrawing the attention behind the eyes, which banishes the darkness to give you light. And I believe the word collyrium means like an ointment that helps with troubles with eyesight. So Master puts the collyrium of Nam in the inner eye. The presence of light within is proof of contact with the Nam. Christ said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If the single or spiritual eye is opened, you will see for yourself that your whole being is filled with light, the light of God. The Muslim brothers speak of Kohitur, the mountain peak, the place behind the two physical eyes, where the prophet Moses saw the radiance of the Lord. All masters tell us to rise above the body. The attention must rise above body consciousness to the still silent point behind and between the eyes, which is the seat of the soul, the focus point where the light becomes effulgent. Seeing the light within is the assurance of contact with Nam. God is light, and Nam is the power of that ever-existent Lord. One can call it God in action power. And these are lines from Tulsidas's hymn. Repeating Nam with his tongue while alive, the yogi enjoys renunciation by cutting off all attention from outside. By devoting oneself to Nam with full attention, one can achieve the same state of awakenedness that the yogis reach when they arise from the deep sleep of illusion. At this, all illusionary attachment ceases, and this culminates the true renunciation of the world and its environments. True renunciation really means freedom from all attachment. And you can achieve this if you so desire, for this is the power and the greatness of Nam. Guru Nanak was once discussing the Nam with some yogis, and he told them, like the lotus flower above the water, and the duck which shakes herself dry, swim the ocean of life through the Surat Shabad. O Nanak, this is the greatness of Naam. One can swim this ocean of life untouched by the taints of the world. At present, mind and attention are like one, but they can be separated by rising above the senses and repeating Naam with the mind. The true awakening occurs when the mind is stilled and one rises above the body. We live in a very sad condition. The whole world sleeps in attachment and forgetfulness. How can this illusion go? Only with the aid of Naam power can one overcome this state of sleep and accomplish that which the masters advocate, to live in the world, but to be not of the world. And again from the hymn, complete happiness comes by the incomparable realization through the indescribable, formless Naam. This is the stage of nameless Naam, which has no form and is free from all impurity, and through which one can reach the height of an inestimable bliss. Tulsidas has first described the Naam and the form, and now he indicates that beyond this lies a stage of complete bliss, where Naam is formless, where Naam is no longer in expression and no longer uses name and form. So we begin to see the difference between the expression and the background of that expression. And from the hymn, if you wish that concealed knowledge revealed, repeat the Naam with your life's breath. By repeating Naam with full attention, all the mysteries are revealed. But it must be repetition at the highest level, with all the heart, mind, and spirit. The Muslim fakirs also say that Simran done with the attention is the teaching of the fully realized fakir. Fakirs or masters are the only ones who know this secret teaching. You will not find the worldly doing this kind of simran. And from the hymn, repeat the Naam with devotion and love. Become mystically adept, gaining all great powers. Those connected to Naam, who daily repeat Naam with all attention, gradually master the supernatural powers, because the supernatural powers are the servants of Naam. The disciple of Naam learns to use these powers, but the masters have forbidden them to be used. For there is the danger thereby of the student going into outward expression and receding farther and farther from the truth. But it is a fact that gaining control of these powers is an automatic part of progress on the path of Naam. And from the hymn, repeating Naam, the afflicted are freed from all misery and gain happiness. When Guru Nanak said that the whole world was unhappy, he was asked if there was not a single soul who enjoyed happiness, and he said, they are happy who are sustained by Naam. Even the most miserable of people have transformed their lives into an expression of joy by being connected to the Naam. Naam is the panacea for all ills. It is the only real means to happiness, but I will repeat that very few people understand the subject of Naam. When one speaks of Naam, it is but a word. So, one must be connected to the Naam, which is a power, not merely a word. Outer connection with a mere word will not give contact with the truth and will not banish one's miseries. Swamiji has also spoken on this subject. He says, O attention, or soul, we know that you are unhappy. He says that he can see the misery of the soul, and since when has it been miserable? He then answers this, since the day that you were separated from Shabad and developed a friendship with the mind. Through this friendship with the mind, the soul became involved with the senses and has ever since remained at that level. That is how it got imprisoned in the worldly name and form. And the misery started from there. Now, how can the soul be released from all this? The natural corollary is that one should leave this mind involvement by the only means powerful enough, and that is connection to the Shabd or Nam. Each master has his own terms of expression, but the subject is the same. Furthermore, he who is in contact with the Nam becomes fearless. And again, from the hymn, there are four kinds of true devotees of God. All of them are full of love and compassion and are broad-minded. All four are sustained by Nam, but the realized one is the Lord's beloved above all. There's nothing higher than Nam. It is something which cannot be understood by the common man. It is the giver of all phases of life. Those who are seeking get the connection by the grace of Nam. The lamenting souls are heard by the grace of Nam. Those who so desire find fulfillment in Nam. So righteousness, ethics, good actions, and salvation are all possible because of Nam. All four types of devotees are devoted to Nam, but the Lord loves those the most who have realized the Nam. And from the hymn, Nam was the ruling means for emancipation in all four ages. In Kali Yuga especially, there's no other means. Nam has sustained every age. Its praises are sung in all scriptures. One Nam gave salvation in all four ages. However, in this Kali Yuga, particularly, Nam is imperative. One cannot maintain an iota of righteousness without it. In Kali Yuga, the age of man is short, his intellect is reduced, his health is poor. The long practices and austerities, like prana yoga, hatha yoga, and others, were suitable for other ages in the past. It is stated that in Satyuga, man's average age was 100,000 years, which may or may not be so, but in Kali Yuga, we are concerned with the present conditions, and we have to work with them. It is highly probable that man did live for long periods of time in the past, for the scriptures have recorded it as so. A certain rishi, for example, is stated to have done 88,000 years of rigid austerities, and others did similar feats, etc. Then, in Treta Yuga, it is written that man's age was reduced to an average of 10,000 years. And in Dwapar Yuga, it was reduced again to 1,000 years. In the Kali Yuga, it's rare for a man to live up to or beyond 100 years, and the average is nearer to 50 years. In India, for instance, the average age is recorded at 22 years. Just tell me, how can a man accomplish such long practices? So Tulsidas tells us that in this age, nothing but Nam is effective. Gurbani also states, Kali Yuga has come, Kali Yuga has come. So the Nam, so the Nam. This opportunity will not return. Never. Do not forget in illusion. So the Nam. It clearly states the situation. So brothers, there's no way out but through Nam. People desire many different things. Cure for their ills, riches, name, and fame, and a few desire salvation. But one master says that he who is free from all desires is the one who enjoys the real sweetness of Nam, its true nectar. Such a devotee would be like a fish without water, without the Nam. Nam is his very life. He cannot live without it. Guru Nanak puts it this way, with it he lives, without it he dies. And he also says, the more I remember, I am enlivened, otherwise I die. This gives us an inkling about the Nam, but Nam is not merely to be talked about. It is to be contacted, experienced, and enjoyed. And again from the hymn, attribute and non-attribute, both are forms of Brahm. They are inexpressible, unfathomable, eternal, incomparable. I think that Nam is higher than both, for they are controlled by Nam. What is the manifestation that comes from both attribute and non-attribute? Nam. Nam is the controlling power of everything, and to be connected to it, one needs a very fortunate destiny. It's a deep and subtle subject, but Tulsidas is unfolding it beautifully. And again from the hymn, the competent people know all. I speak of this knowledge from the love in my heart. The masters are the knowledgeable people who know everything. He tells us this from the wisdom of his own experience, from the depths of love that he has in his heart. And from the hymn, we see the wood, but the fire is hidden within it. Only the awakened have the true concept. Now he is speaking metaphorically. For example, fire is hidden in wood, and yet no one can see it. Just like this, both attribute and non-attribute are parts of God's nature. If man truly understood this great truth, the knowledge would be salvation to him. But as he stands, he's bound to the cycle of births and deaths. And from the hymn, practice of attribute and non-attribute are both more difficult than Nam. Nam is greater than Brahm and Ram. All practices in the spheres of attribute and non-attribute are very exacting. But the practice of Nam is not at all difficult. Why is this? Because only through Nam can the attribute and non-attribute phases of God be understood. Without Nam, these aspects of the Lord cannot be grasped or absorbed, and this includes the outer expressions of creation. Nam is something contacted from within, spiritually, when one rises above the senses, and this is made possible only by a competent master. True understanding starts after this contact is made. For example, to explain the workings of a powerhouse is one thing, But if a person actually visits the building, a deeper understanding of its functions begins to form. Again from the hymn, the permeating Lord is imperishable. He is awakened truth, the source of all bliss. The omnipotent and the omnipresent vibrates in every atom. There's no place where Nam does not exist. And it offers a very treasure house of happiness. Whatever is created through Nam. There's no place without Nam. And again from the hymn, this flawless Lord is in each heart, and yet the world is drowned in misery. One might well ponder or wonder about the ironical fact that God resides in every being, and yet everyone is unhappy. We are swimming in Him just as fish swim in the water. We are living in that life-giving nectar, but we are dying of thirst. And what is the reason for this sad situation? And again from the hymn, Nam's true form is got only by right endeavor, when it then manifests within. The reason for all our sorrows is that Nam is not manifested within us. The potential of experiencing Nam is within us, just as the fire is in the wood, but it must be made manifest. Manifest the hidden Nam, and manifest the hidden sound. To make all this possible, the seeker must be ready to put in a little effort in order to gain something of a value that cannot be estimated. A precious gem must be selected from other stones and examined separately before its properties can be appreciated. Otherwise, it just remains another stone. So, all our misery is through lack of the contact with God. Water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. The Lord is everywhere. Where is He not? But men are not fortunate enough to have even the briefest experience of Him, and so we are dying of thirst. It is in us, but we know it not. Oh, cursed be this life, this living. Oh, Tulsi, the whole world suffers from this cataract. And Beek Sab says similarly, O Beek, no one need be hungry, for each has tied to him a ruby, but no one cares to untie it. That ruby is the Nam, the knot which binds matter and consciousness together, and if that knot is not untied by rising above body consciousness and establishing connection with Nam, then we will remain hungry all through our life. We may have material wealth, but spiritually, we live like paupers. And we will leave off at that point. We'll continue in a satsang, a tape of a satsang that was begun last week. This is from July of 1980 in Minneapolis. This is on a bani of Guru Amar Das, and it was at the Unitarian Church there in Minneapolis.
ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਧੁੰਨ ਉੱਠ ਕੇ ਸਾਡੇ ਸਭ ਦੇ ਇੱਥੇ ਮੱਥੇ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਤੁਨਕਾਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਰਹੀ ਹੈ, ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਗੁਰੂ ਬਾਣੀ ਹਰੀ ਕੀਰਤਨ ਜਾਂ ਅਕਥ ਕਥਾ ਜਾਂ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਜਾਂ ਨਾਮ ਕਰਕੇ ਬਿਆਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਮੁਸਲਮਾਨ ਫਕੀਰ ਉਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਬਾਂਗ ਸਮਾਨੀ ਨਦਾਏ ਸੁਲਤਾਨੀ ਕਰਕੇ ਬਿਆਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਈਸਾ ਨੇ ਉਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਬਰਡ ਕਿਹਾ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਉਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਹਿੰਦੂ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਆਕਾਸ਼ ਬਾਣੀ ਰਾਮ ਨਾਮ ਰਾਮ ਧੁਨ ਕਰਕੇ ਬਿਆਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ।
ਨਾਉ ਹੀ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਦ ਸਾਊਂਡ ਫਰੋਮ ਅਵਰ ਰੀਅਲ ਹੋਮ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਇਜ਼ ਕਮਿੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਇਟਸ ਸਾਊਂਡਿੰਗ ਐਟ ਦ ਬੈਕ ਆਫ ਅਵਰ ਟਰੂ ਆਈਜ਼ ਐਟ ਅਵਰ ਆਈ ਸੈਂਟਰ। Guru Nanak Sahib calls that sound, that power, as the will of Lord, the order of God, the word of Lord. And he uses many other descriptive words for describing that sound, that bani. And Christ called that power as the word. The Muslim fakirs call it as Bangi Asmani, Nidar Sultani, like that. And the Hindu teachers, the Hindu saints have called that power, called that power as Ram Naam, or they also have used many other descriptive words to describe that Vani.
ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਧਰਤੀ ਅੰਦਰ ਸਾਰੇ ਪਾਣੀ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਖੂਹਾਂ ਵਗੈਰਾ ਨਲਕਾ ਵਗੈਰਾ ਲਗਾ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਟਿਊਬਵੈਲ ਲਗਾ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਆਪਣੀ ਪਿਆਸ ਬੁਝਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ। ਬੇਸ਼ੱਕ ਉਹ ਤਾਕਤ ਸਾਡੇ ਸਭ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜਦ ਤੱਕ ਅਸੀਂ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਪਾਸ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਨਹੀਂ ਜਗਾ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਚਿਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਤੋਂ ਫਾਇਦਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਉਠਾ ਸਕਦੇ ਗੇ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਵਿੱਦਿਆ ਦੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਬੱਚੇ ਦੇ ਦਿਮਾਗ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜੋ ਉਸਤਾਦਾਂ ਪਾਸ ਟੀਚਰਾਂ ਪਾਸ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਉਸ ਸੁੱਤੀ ਹੋਈ ਵਿੱਦਿਆ ਨੂੰ ਜਗਾ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹੈ।
ਨੋ ਡਾਊਟ ਦ ਵਾਟਰ ਇਜ਼ ਐਵਰੀਵੇਅਰ ਇਨ ਦ ਅਰਥ ਬਟ ਹੂ ਕੈਨ ਕੁਐਂਚ ਦੈਰ ਥਰਸਟ ਓਨਲੀ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਡਿਗ ਦ ਅਰਥ ਓਨਲੀ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਟੇਕ ਆਊਟ ਦ ਵਾਟਰ ਫਰੋਮ the earth, only they can quench their thirst. In the same way, no doubt the power of God is within each of us, but who can get use of it, who can get manifested that? Only those who come in the company of the perfect masters and do according to the instructions of the masters, only they can manifest that power which is already within us and which is within each of us. It is just like the power of the knowledge is within all the children, but only those who go to the teachers, only those who go to schools and colleges, only they get qualified, whereas the other people, other children, they also have the power of knowledge in their within. But because they don't spend the time with the teachers, they don't go to school and colleges, that is why they remain illiterate.
Vaho vaho pure gur ki bani, pure gur te upaji saache samani.
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਸਭ ਕੁਛ ਪੈਦਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਬ੍ਰਹਿਮੰਡ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਪਿੰਡ ਦੇ ਬ੍ਰਹਿਮੰਡ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਪਿੰਡ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਸਭ ਮਨ ਦੇ ਪਰਦੇ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਚੀਜ਼ਾਂ ਹੈ ਸੂਕਸ਼ਮ ਹੈ ਤੋ ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਹੋਰ ਤਾਂ ਹੋਰ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਵੀ ਇਹ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਦੇਹ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸਭ ਦੀ ਰਖਵਾਲੀ ਕਰਦਾ ਸਭ ਨੂੰ ਜਿਸਨੇ ਜੀਵਨ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨਾ ਤਾਂ ਕਿਤਾਬਾਂ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਉਹ ਕਿਸੇ ਬਾਹਰ ਸਮੁੰਦਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਉਹ ਕਿਸੇ ਪਹਾੜਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਹੈ ਤੋ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਹੀ ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਮਿਲ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਿਸ ਨੂੰ ਮਿਲਿਆ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਹੀ ਮਿਲਿਆ ਜਿਹਨੂੰ ਮਿਲੇਗਾ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਹੀ ਮਿਲੇਗਾ
ਨਾਉ ਹੀ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਗੋਡ ਹੈਜ਼ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟਿਡ ਆਲ ਦ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਐਂਡ ਆਲ ਦ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਵਿਚ ਵੀ ਸੀ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਫਿਜ਼ੀਕਲ ਵਰਲਡ ਦੇ ਆਲ ਦੇ ਐਗਜ਼ਿਸਟ ਆਲ ਆਫ ਦ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਐਗਜ਼ਿਸਟ ਇਨ ਦੀ ਆਸਟਰਲ ਵਰਲਡ ਆਲਸੋ ਵਟ ਐਵਰ ਇਜ਼ ਇਨ ਦ ਪਿੰਡ ਔਰ ਇਨ ਦ ਫਿਜ਼ੀਕਲ ਵਰਲਡ ਦੈਟ ਐਗਜ਼ਿਸਟ ਇਨ ਦ ਬ੍ਰਹਮੰਡ ਔਰ ਦ ਆਸਟਰਲ ਵਰਲਡ ਆਲਸੋ ਬਟ ਦ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਇਨ ਦੀ ਆਸਟਰਲ ਵਰਲਡ ਐਗਜ਼ਿਸਟ or appear in their astral forms. And he has put everything within the man. All the things which we see outside, they all are residing within us also, but they are behind the veil of our mind. When we lift up the veil of mind, only then we can see all the things in our within. And God has placed himself also in our within. And he himself has created the creation, and only he is the one who is nourishing and who is surviving and doing everything and protecting the creation.
Kaya andar jag jeevan data vasai sabna करें प्रतिपालं काया कमणे सदा सुरिली गुरुमुख नाम सुमालं काया अंदर आपिं से अलक नल गया
ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਸੱਚੇ ਤੋਂ ਸੱਚਾ ਮੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਠਾਕੁਰ ਦੁਆਰਾ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਚਰਚ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦੀ ਦੇਹ ਹੈ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦਾ ਵਜੂਦ ਹੈ
God doesn't reside anywhere outside he resides within each of us and up until now all those who realized him had done so only after going in there within if there is any real temple or church that is the human body
ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਇਹ ਭਗਵਾਨ ਨੇ ਖੁਦ ਬਣਾਇਆ ਹੈ ਇਹਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਭਗਵਾਨ ਬੈਠਾ ਹੈ
because God himself has created this and he himself is sitting in it
ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸਮਝਾਇਆ ਸੀਗਾ ਧਰਮ ਸਥਾਨ ਬਣਾ ਕੇ ਕਿ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਣਾ ਕਿਉਂ ਜ਼ਰੂਰੀ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਸਾਰਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਕਿ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾਣਾ ਕਿਉਂ ਜ਼ਰੂਰੀ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਇੱਥੋਂ ਰਸਮ ਰਿਵਾਜ਼ ਵੀ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸਮਝਾਏ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਕਰਨੇ ਕਿਉਂ ਜ਼ਰੂਰੀ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਇਹ ਵੀ ਸਭ ਕੁਛ ਬਣਾ ਕੇ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਕਿ ਸਭ ਕੁਛ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਰੱਖਿਆ ਹੈ
ਦੀ ਆਊਟਰ ਚਰਚਸ ਐਂਡ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਵਰ ਮੇਡ ਜਸਟ ਟੂ ਸ਼ੋ ਅਸ ਦ ਟਰੂਥ ਦੇ ਵਰ ਮੇਡ ਟੂ ਟੈਲ ਅਸ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਈ It is important for us to go to these religious places. It is equally important for us to go in our within. And all the things, ceremonies and rites and rituals which we do outside, which we perform outside, we need to do that after going in our within also.
Hinduwan de mandir de vich jaiye, sab to pehla ghanta aunda hai, oh ghanta khadka ke andar jaane hai, agge jot jagai jandi hai. ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਅਗਰ ਸਿੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਗੁਰਦੁਆਰੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਉੱਥੇ ਵੀ ਜੋਤ ਜਗਾਈ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਨਗਾਰਾ ਵਜਾਇਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਮੁਸਲਮਾਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਮਸਜਿਦ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਮਜ਼ਾਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਚਿਰਾਗ ਜਗਾਏ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਮੌਲਵੀ ਉੱਚੀ ਉੱਚੀ ਬਾਂਗ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਚਰਚ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਵੀ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਉੱਪਰ ਘੰਟਾ ਹੈ ਸਰਬਤ ਚਾਲੂ ਹੋਣ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਘੰਟਾ ਵਜਾਇਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਇੱਥੇ ਕੈਂਡਲਾਂ ਜਗਾਈਆਂ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸਮਝਾਇਆ ਸੀ ਕਿ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜੋਤ ਰੂਪ ਔਰ ਨਾਦ ਰੂਪ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਬਿਰਾਜਮਾਨ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਅਸੀਂ ਕੀ ਕੀਤਾ ਵਜਾਏ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾਣ ਦੇ ਉਸ ਜੋਤ ਦੇਖਣ ਦੇ ਵਜਾਏ ਅੰਦਰਲੀ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਸੁਣਨ ਦੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਬਾਹਰ ਰਸਮ ਰਿਵਾਜ਼ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਲਝ ਗਏ ਹੈ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਬਾਹਰ ਕਰਨੀ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਰਸਮ ਰਿਵਾਜ਼ ਇਹ ਸੌਖੀ ਹੈ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਮਨ ਆਜ਼ਾਦ ਰਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾਣਾ ਬੜਾ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਲ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਮਿਹਨਤ ਕਰਨੀ ਪੈਂਦੀ ਹੈ
When we visit the Hindu temples, the first thing you will see is the bell and you ring the bell and then go in the place where they have put the idols and in front of the idols they have the lights, the lamps going on and when you visit the Gurdwaras or the religious holy places of the Sikhs, that also they have a big drum and that also they have the light going on. In the same way when we go to the mosque of the Muslims, that also they have the lights, the lamps going burning on the graves and the Maulvi or the priest, he shouts aloud and he calls for the sound of Lord. In the same way when we go into churches, they burn the candles there and before starting the service they ring the bells. All these things were just to show us that in our within, God is sitting in the form of light and sound. And we need to go in our within and manifest the light of God in our within and see light there and hear the sound of bell there. All these things were made just to show us that we need to go in our within and see all these things there. But instead of going in our within, we started doing all the things outwardly. Because it is easier for us to do all these ceremonies, all these rites and rituals outwardly. It is very easy for us to burn the candle and sound the bell outwardly. Because in this, our mind is free and we can do anything we want. But if we try to go in our within and try to see the light there and hear the sound of bell there, it is very difficult for us. Because when we want to go in our within, which means that we have to imprison our mind, we have to control our mind. And mind doesn't want to become dependent, he wants to remain independent and free. And that is why he is never advising us, he is never allowing us to understand the truth.
ਸਾਡੀ ਦੇਹ ਦੇ ਨੌ ਦਰਵਾਜ਼ੇ ਹੈ, ਦੋ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਸੁਰਾਖ ਹੈ, ਦੋ ਕੰਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਸੁਰਾਖ ਹੈ, ਦੋ ਨੱਕ ਦੇ ਸੁਰਾਖ ਹੈ, ਹੇਠ ਮੂੰਹ ਹੈ, ਹੇਠ ਦੋ ਇੰਦਰੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਸੁਰਾਖ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਔਰ ਮਨ ਦੀ ਜੋ ਸੀਟ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਇਹ ਹੈ, ਔਰ 6 ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ, ਗੁਦਾ ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਇੰਦਰੀ ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ, ਨਾਭੀ ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ, ਹਿਰਦਾ ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਕੰਠ ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਇਹ ਆਗਿਆ ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ ਜਿੱਥੇ ਸਾਡੇ ਮਨ ਔਰ ਆਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਸੀਟ ਹੈ। ਸੋ ਇਹ ਇਸ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਤੋਂ ਉੱਤਰ ਕੇ ਥੱਲੇ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਆਈ ਹੈ, ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚੋਂ ਨਿਕਲ ਕੇ ਬਾਹਰ ਸਾਰੀ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਫੈਲੀ ਹੋਈ ਹੈ। ਤੋ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸਮਝਾਉਂਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਫੈਲੀ ਹੈ ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਦੇ ਜ਼ਰੀਏ ਇਕੱਠਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਵਾਪਸ ਫਿਰ ਇੱਥੇ ਲਿਆਓ।
Our body has 9 openings. There are 2 openings of the eyes, 2 of ears, 2 of nostrils, 1 of mouth and 2 below. And there are 6 ganglions or chakra. One is rectum and the other is navel, heart chakra is the third one. And the throat and the other one is the agya chakra, the place where the seat of our mind and soul are. And when we were born, our soul came down from the eye center, came down from its seat, and she is spread everywhere in the body and beyond the body also. Everywhere in the world she is spread, the attention is spread. So masters tell us, they give us the Simran and they tell us to retrace our attention, to bring our attention back and our soul back at the eye center. This is the place from where it came down and was spread everywhere.
ਜਦੋਂ ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਕਿਸੇ ਵੀ ਚੱਕਰ ਨੂੰ ਤੋੜ ਕੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਬੜਾ ਦਰਦ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜਦ ਹਿਰਦੇ ਚੱਕਰ ਨੂੰ ਉਹ ਪਾਰ ਕਰਦੀ ਹੈ ਉਦੋਂ ਤਾਂ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਿਵੇਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਸੱਚੀ ਮਿੱਚੀ ਮਰ ਰਹੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ। ਤੋ ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਇੱਥੇ ਆਗਿਆ ਚੱਕਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਤੀਸਰੇ ਤਿਲ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਉਦੋਂ ਸਾਡਾ ਇੱਕ ਕਿਸਮ ਦਾ ਦੂਸਰਾ ਹੀ ਜਨਮ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਤੋ ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਨੀ ਔਖੀ ਹੈ। ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੇ ਕਮਾਈ ਕੀਤੀ ਹੈ, ਰਾਤਾਂ ਜਾਗੀਆਂ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਚਾਹੁੰਦੇ ਗੇ। ਗੱਲਾਂ ਜ਼ਰੂਰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀਆਂ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਚਾਹੁੰਦੇ ਗੇ।
When our soul withdraws from the body and comes back in its journey upwards, whenever she crosses any chakra, any ganglion, and she breaks that, we feel a lot of pain. And when she comes to the heart chakra, then the center of heart, at that time when she breaks the chakra of heart, we feel the pain exactly like the pain which we feel during the time of our death, and it is very painful and it's very difficult to bear that pain. And when our soul comes to the eye center, the third eye, we are like a born anew. So that is why it is very difficult to meditate. We people talk about God, we people discuss about Him and all, but we are not ready for meditation because it is not an easy thing to meditate. Those who have done the meditation, those who have stayed up late night, and those who have devoted and dedicated whole life in doing the meditation of God, they know that how much difficult it is. In comparison to the meditation, the outer rites and rituals are so much easy. That is why most of the people are involved in that.
ਹੁਣ ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਕਿਸੇ ਦੀ ਸੂਈ ਘਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਗੁੰਮ ਹੋ ਗਈ, ਉਹ ਬਾਹਰ ਸੜਕ ਤੇ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਪਾਲਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ, ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਕਿਹਾ ਕਿ ਭਰਾਵਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਕੀ ਗੁੰਮ ਹੋਇਆ, ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਮੇਰੀ ਸੂਈ ਘਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਗੁੰਮ ਹੋਈ ਸੀਗੀ, ਤੇ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਇੱਥੇ ਕਿਉਂ ਢੂੰਡਦਾ, ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਇੱਥੇ ਲਾਈਟ ਜ਼ਿਆਦੇ ਹੈ। ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਦੇਖ ਭਰਾਵਾ, ਜੋ ਤੇਰੀ ਸੂਈ ਤਾਂ ਘਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਗੁੰਮ ਹੈ, ਤੂੰ ਘਰ ਹੀ ਢੂੰਡ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ। ਸੋ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਤਾਂ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ, ਦੇਹ ਔਰ ਵਜੂਦ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਮਨਮੁਖ ਸਮਝਦੇ ਨਹੀਂ, ਉਹਨੂੰ ਬਾਹਰ ਢੂੰਡਣ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ।
ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਲਾਈਕ if anyone loses his needle in the home and instead of searching for it in his house, he goes outside and he searches, and if anyone asks him that why, what he is doing, he would reply that I am searching for my needle which was lost in the house. He would be considered as the fool, and when he is asked that why he is doing it outside, he would give many explanations that here there are many people, or it's very beautiful here, it's very bright and like that. But he doesn't want to go in his house and search for the needle there. And no matter how much he tries, but still he will not be able to find his needle back. In the same way, God is in our within. He is lost in our within. And if we want to meet Him, if we are searching for Him, we need to go in our within. No matter if the outer places where we believe that God is very beautiful or there are many people, but still by visiting them, we will not be able to realize Him. We will not be able to see Him. Gurumukhs or the masters come in this world and they tell us that God is within you, and you can realize Him, you can see Him only after going in your within. But the manmukhs or the worldly people, those who obey their mind, they are not ready to listen to the words of the master, and that is why they just go on doing the useless efforts searching for God outside.
Our closing bhajan is on page 142, Pakandame Kuchinai Sado of Kabir. O sadhu, there is nothing in hypocrisy. The hypocrite goes in the cycle of 84 lakhs. That is why I say that you should search in your within for God. O my swan, even if you fly without wings or beak, even if I don't see you flying, even if you bring me the news from far away, but still I won't believe in you, as there is nothing in hypocrisy. Even if you sit in the cave and I cannot see you, even if you change your body and delude the people, but still I won't believe that you are the real one, as there is nothing in hypocrisy. Even if you burn the fire and sit in it and I cannot see you, even if you change your body into a tiger and come and frighten me, even then I won't believe in you, as there is nothing in hypocrisy. If you will become a monk by growing your hair and sitting in deep meditation, even if you fly in the air and carry your cushion without any support, then also I won't believe in you. By loving the crows, you will not become a swan. Kabir says, when you become one with Shabd, only then will you become a swan. O sadhu, there is nothing in hypocrisy.
Pakhand me kuch nahi sadho, pakhand me kuch nahi re. Pakhand me kuch nahi sadho, pakhand me kuch nahi re. Pakhandiya nar bhogi churasi, ko chakro man mahi re. Pakandiya nar bhogi churasi, ko jakaro man mahi re. Pakand me kuch nahi sadho, pakand me kuch nahi re. Pakand me kuch nahi sadho, pakand me kuch nahi re. Kuch pank bin ud mere hansala, udta di se nahi re. Kuch pank bin ud mere hansala, udta di se nahi re. Lak kos ki kabar maga de, to bhi manu nahi re. Pakand me kuch nahi sadho, pakand me kuch nahi re. Pakand me kuch nahi sadho, pakand me kuch nahi re. Gufa kuda kar mahe vad bete, veto di se nahi re. Gufa kud kar mahe vad bete, beto di se nahi re. Dehi palat kar jag par mave, to bhi manu nahi re. Pakand me kuch nahi sadho, pakand me kuch nahi re. Pakhand me kuch nahi sado, pakhand me kuch nahi re. Chika chin kar mahe vad bete, jal tu dhi se nahi re. Chika chin kar mahe vad bete, jal to di se nahi re. Dahi balat kar singa banave, to bi manu nahi re. Pakhand me kuch nahi sado, pakhand me kuch nahi re. Pakhand me kuch nahi sado, pakhand me kuch nahi re. Jata bad ke mahant ban bete, ankiya kole nahi re. Jata bad ke mahant ban bete, ankiya kola nahi re. Adme jaki thaki alagave, to bi manu nahi re. Pakhand me nahi sado, pakhand me kuch nahi re. Pakhand me kuch nahi sado, pakhand me kuch nahi re. Kaga seti pritalega ke hans banega nahi re. Kaga seti pritalega ke hans banega nahi re. Kahe kabir shabd sang mil ke hans tu hoi jai re. Pakhand me kuch nahi sado, pakhand me kuch nahi re. Pakhand me kuch nahi sado, pakhand me kuch nahi re.
By loving the crows, you will not become a swan. Kabir says, when you become one with Shabda, only then will you become a swan. O sadhu, there is nothing in hypocrisy. May God bless us all.